This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Bright light city, gonna set my soul, gonna set my soul on fire. Got a whole lot of money that's ready to burn, so get those stakes up higher. There's a thousand pretty women waiting out there. They're all living and they will make it.
Cheap applause. Many people had a good time with us last night. How many people hate cheap applause? All right. Bless you. All right. Let's see. Keynote. There's a word in the English language that I think is just a little underrated. There's lots of great words. Family, love, money, sex. Those last two don't necessarily go together, but you are in Las Vegas, what the heck. But there's a word that I've been thinking about lately a lot, and that word is curiosity. Curiosity. It's what drives us. It's the passion that drives men across oceans, and up mountains, and scholars across the universe. It's passion. The good news is that we are all born with an abundance of curiosity. Anybody who's ever been around a two-year-old knows they can ask why more times than, well, greater than the patience of any parent, trust me. Then, as we grow, we tend to curb our curiosity. And I think that's partially because they get answers from people like me, because I told you so. Come on, we've all done that. Or they ask an adult a question, why do you wear your hair like that? Oh, aren't you a curious child? And they know that curious is not necessarily a positive thing. So we start to curb it. So what I'd like you to do is to take the curiosity challenge with us this week, or these days here, and to rediscover that curiosity just a little bit. And to help you do that, we are fortunate that this hotel for the next few days is filled with the most fascinating people. Some of them will be up here on the stage, some of them in the focus session, some of them behind tables in the Grand Bazaar. Fascinating people are here. You should be asking them questions, probing into them, but they're not the best resource that's here this week. The person sitting next to you, your fellow registrant, is the best resource in the world. There's tons of you out there. We challenge you to ask questions of that friend that you probably don't know as much about as you maybe should, or that perfect stranger. So that's our challenge. And by the way, we're not asking you to do anything that we didn't do. 2 years ago, we started out with a blank board, and we started asking questions, and we started probing and probing and probing, and then we started to focus it down. You can do that when you go home. You start to focus things down. And we focus this year on just a few areas, but this adventure and the travel maps that you'll get instead of a binder with notes and a vault that'll be online after the convention. We don't want you doing this. We want you engaged with the people that are here. That's what Magic Live is all about. So that's the challenge. And I have a question for you. Who shot JR? I'm curious, how many people in this room remember that campaign? Right? Okay.
All the Texans really sorry.
For those of you that don't, hey, get curious. Go look it up. Now, I'll give you this. CBS drama, 1980s, called Dallas. The last episode of one of the seasons, the lead character, JR, gets shot, and they don't tell you who did it for 3 months. And during those 3 months, there were T-shirts, I shot JR. He shot JR. My husband shot JR. Everybody shot JR. But when the show came back on, 76% share watched that show. That equated to 83 million people, more people who voted in the presidential election that year. To put it in perspective, America's Got Talent, the top-rated show today, and if someone can explain that to me, I appreciate it. Matt Franco in the room? No. Damn, I keep saying these things out loud. America's Got Talent, last week, top rated show, 10.3 million. 83 million,
10.3. People were pretty darn curious about that. Here's the second part of the question. How many people now, raise your hand, if you know the character who actually shot J.R.? Not quite so many hands. Why not? Because as soon as the mystery was solved, our curiosity was lost. It wasn't really lost. It moved on to something else. Magic is like that. Magic is like that. The surprise, the mystery, it's all about the curiosity of it all. And that's why we don't tell you who's going to be on our stage shows or any of our shows. Okay, we do it just to annoy you. But we need to rationale that is for keeping the wonder and keeping you surprised. That's our explanation to it.
Who shot there?
I have no idea. Who did you, J.R.?
Oswald.
No, Donald Trump.
We got Oswald, Donald Trump. What are we going for here? Who was it? Kristen?
Kristen.
Okay. All right. I'm going to forget that Kristen shot him because I kind of pride myself in not knowing who shot JR to a certain degree. All righty. So that's a curiosity thing. And we ask you, I ask you, no, strike that. I plead with you, if we surprise you at all, please don't share it with your friends before they get a chance to see it. Don't put it on Facebook. Don't go out and say, oh, wait till you see what such and such said. No, don't even hint at it. Let your friends be surprised with us. All right? So that's about it. I've covered, I think, everything I wanted to cover. And it is at this time that it's my sincere pleasure to welcome you to Las Vegas, welcome you to the Orleans Hotel, welcome you to what's hopefully amazing days of curiosity. Welcome to Magic Live, the adventure.
How I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day.
All right, well, it is the first full official day, and you just heard Stan Allen in his opening keynote speech welcoming everybody and kind of what this is going to be about. And one of the presenters that we had was Jamie D. Grant. Hey, Jamie.
Hey, how's it going? Oh, thank you. Hey, how's it going, everyone that has got well?
Podcast land.
Just finished my talk with fellow performers of Richard Wiseman,
yep,
who's amazing, Peter McKinnon, amazing, David Copperfield, amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, every single person was amazing.
It was, and that's what's great about these topics. And yours actually was teaching a trick. The other ones are talking about good intellectual property. Yours was really something, you know, carrying on mnemonic, you know.
I think they really want... like different things for different people, right? So, yeah. You know, Peter's talking about filming, and I was talking about how to memorize the deck of cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was awesome. Now, you got a booth upstairs, which you're selling all of your...
And that's where I'm going. I'm going right now to that booth, and yep. I can't wait. I'm going to go find my wife right now. But we'll
all
talk
right,
more
good.
Later.
We will. Very good. I want to ask you then what your magic word is, and also which
my magic word.
Yeah, what is important in your life? What is your philosophy? What's your most important thing?
Send wonder.
Send wonder. I like that. Very good. Jamie D. Grant for the Magic Word Podcast. This is Scotty out. Steel.
Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas. Viva Las Vegas with your neon flashing.
All right, Scott Wells with MagicWordPodcast.com. And after the show is over, I've got with me Michael Chow, one of the producers of Monday Night Magic in New York City.
There you go.
How you doing?
Hey, Scott. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
You're looking good. You don't really change. If anything, you're kind of getting younger. I mean, I would think with as much pressure as on you that you'd be looking older and bags under your eyes.
I have bags under my eyes, and my hair is gray.
You're not losing any. I mean,
no, that's true. I have hair. Yes.
It's not bad at all. And so tell me, how many years has Monday Night Magic been going? 18 years?
We just celebrated our 18th anniversary.
Okay. That's what
it's
I said.
Amazing.
And where are we today?
We are at the Players Theater on McDougal Street,
okay.
115 McDougal, between Bleecker and 3rd, right in the heart of Greenwich Village. Probably our best and most fun location of all 18 years.
Why do you say that? Is it more kind of a surrounded area?
We're between Café Wa, the very famous Café Wa, which has been around for ages. I mean, Lenny Bruce performed at Café Wa.
How cool is that?
And on the other side of us is the Comedy Cellar, which is the hottest comedy club in the country right now. So okay. It's a really cool, fun place to be.
Very cool. Now, who have you had that's been kind of outstanding? I mean, you've had a lot of good acts, including me, in the
that's
past.
That's true. And Scott Wells, most outstanding performer.
But aside from me,
and he hasn't been back in years.
I haven't been to the city. I mean, I still call it the city, but there's no place like New York City. I mean, it is the city. I love New York City. I miss it. I haven't been to the city in, what year is this? 2015? I think it's been 8, maybe 10 years since I've been in the city.
And probably 12 since you performed at Monday Night Magic.
Yeah, that's about right. But no, I mean, a lot of acts, you know, come to mind and things, people who have come and gone. I know you got a lot of foreign acts over here. Hi, well, Ian, say hello. Hello. Ian Rowland.
Hi, Scott.
We're
going
nice to we're gonna be talking a little bit later. I'm going
to
hear you.
We will.
I've already got Jeff and Tess over there on the podcast.
Right. Right.
Good to see you, too.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Michael.
What do you, I don't even have to look.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
He ran into my family.
I was just going to say, I did that same Father's Day brunch again, but I didn't see them this time.
Oh, that's funny.
But it was a year ago that I saw them. Yeah, that was really good.
And it's so bizarre because I bought a magical effect from Dick. Did we lose you?
Well, go ahead. No, I was going to edit it out, but I was going to say, go ahead. So you're,
I bought a magical
effect. Because we had Dick coming up then also. We have on the podcast. So
I bought a magical effect from Dick.
Clued in.
2 years ago,
yep,
I believe.
Yep.
Which
and
is one I was promoting for a long time.
That's right.
Great trick.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And I swear on my life, I found it yesterday.
Oh, good.
When I was packing, it vanished, and I was and in my house. If you've ever been to my house, because it's both our office and my house, and it's just chaos.
Yeah,
I've been things
there.
Always. Yes, you have. You stayed there. Yes, so you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Things turn up, and I was packing for Magic Live at 3 o'clock in the morning. I went, there's Clue.
Yeah, clued in.
Yes.
Yeah. And I did that for your family, and they really liked
it. They loved it, yes.
And
my sister called me, and she said, you should be doing this trick.
Well, you probably don't even sell those anymore, because you can't get those little
I made about 150 sets, and I got a couple left over, I think, is it. But, yeah.
Because you had to find the clue pieces actually online and everything.
Yeah, it took a long time, months, to assemble everything. So you have a collector's item,
well,
is what
thank
I'm
you.
Saying.
That's great.
Yeah, and your family was very nice. So.
Well, they liked you too.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
And just to show how busy I am, for a year, Dick's on my list to call him. How embarrassing.
Yeah, but now I'm here.
Yes,
so
exactly.
Okay.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't have to be a stranger. Scott's a witness. I'll give you my card. You can call me anytime.
What was in the red session? What was in the.
The Red Session. I'm glad you're talking. Lanny Kibbe just up over here as well for the podcast. Hello, Lanny.
Oh, we're on the podcast.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
That's right. Simon Coronel is the over there was the MC.
I know, I think.
And we had Jamie D. Grant, who was talking about the Monica. I mean, kind of a quick way of memorizing a deck. Also then had, I can't remember the fellow's name, Peter McKinning. There was a fellow who was talking about a $30 video, basically how you can quickly produce your own videos.
Excellent.
What was that guy's name? David, something like Copperfield. I think that was it. Yeah. David Copperfield, yeah.
A moment with David Copperfield.
Yeah, it was like about a half hour kind of thing with him, which was really pretty awesome.
Okay.
Too. So I think you would enjoy it. Did you in the Blue Session this afternoon?
Yes. Yeah. So we were up there. Actually, we attended Joel Bauer twice.
Yeah.
We saw twice.
It's chaos here at Magic Live.
Yeah, you see everybody just kind of passing through and saying hello. But, so we're back at Magic Live, Monday Night Magic, and so I was saying that so it's like you're just celebrating the 18th year.
18th year,
and
yeah.
So we're talking
actually,
about...
Actually, 19th season now.
And some people who have come through that just kind of quickly come to mind. Again, you have different acts every week, but people from overseas or whatever.
David and Danya have been.
Oh, okay.
And Piff, the Magic Dragon.
Yeah.
And we had 4 hours to decide on him. I get an email from Steve Cohn saying, Piff is in town. Do you want him tonight?
Yeah.
And I said, who the hell is Piff? This is going back maybe 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had just done Fool Us, and he was coming in to do his first Vegas spot for Penn and Teller at Fool Us.
Mm-hmm.
And he was coming back through New York. And I said, who the hell is Piff? And they said, look him up on YouTube. And I looked him up, and I said, book him.
Yeah. You know,
and he
yeah.
killed.
Oh, yeah,
some of my greatest achievements are Harrison Greenbaum and Ben Nemzer, who came to us when they were 10 years old. They were our youngest kid charter members. And now Ben is on stage as a middle act, and Harrison is headlining. He headlined last week, and he's headlining again.
I don't know the names, because I guess they're just young kids.
Harrison, good, huh? On Wednesday, will be on Last Comic Standing.
Oh, okay. And, so he's really more of a comic or anything.
Well, he's a comedy magician. He's a comedy magician, and he's spectacularly funny.
And he's how old now,
Ben? They're both 28.
Oh, 28, 29. Okay, so not like kids anymore, then.
No. No, Ben got married. His wedding was covered in the New York Times.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And so you still have the same producers, I guess, with Jamie Swiss.
Jamie Swiss and Peter Samuelson and Todd Robbins.
Todd Robbins, yep.
And Frank is still Frank Brentz is still producing with us,
Frank.
From heaven.
Okay, I was going to say, Frank died some years ago.
He passed away, I think, 4 years ago, I think, in September.
I remember seeing...
And ironically enough, his daughter is at Monday Night Magic tonight.
Performing?
No, just visiting.
In the audience.
In the audience, yeah.
Interesting, yeah. I remember seeing the video in which you were showing side by side where decades have passed and he's still doing the same kind of things and just bringing down the house.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, what a guy. And I know the other guys are out of town, like Peter was in. Gosh, he's traveling a lot all over the country.
Yes, he is. I would like to point out, yes, Peter Samuelson is traveling a lot.
So he's not there
and
with you.
And Todd Robbins has been traveling and working a lot. And Jamie lives in San Diego. Oh, wait a minute.
Who's that Lee? Who could that
Let's
be?
Let's see.
So that's why you're getting gray hair.
Yes, exactly right.
Well, what is perhaps one of the most biggest challenges you have of getting the house booked and the acts and everything, and how far out do you go, and what's challenging for you?
You know, it's funny because after 18 years, it's all become a muscle. Mm-hmm. And so there are a lot of people that say, oh, I could do that, and they don't realize. I think the most challenging part of what we do is getting an audience. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, you can have the greatest magicians in the world that no one's ever heard of.
No one's heard of, exactly.
And so getting an audience to come.
Because you're trying to get the layman, obviously.
Right, exactly right. If we depended on magicians, unfortunately, we would have been out of business 18 years ago.
Sure. So, yeah, you have to depend upon those who just enjoy magic, and so you have...
But I will say that we've had more magicians in the last 5 years, I think, visit the show than in the history of the show, and they've been very supportive, and we get emails every week from magicians saying, you know, good for you, and great job, and continue doing it.
How many people do you seat in this theater?
We're now seating 214.
Holy moly,
And we'll be sold out tonight, and it's amazing, and we've had an amazing summer, and we're having fun.
And people can get tickets through?
Through brownpapertickets.com, or if they looking up Monday Night Magic,
right.
Or if they go to our website, mondaynightmagic.com, and there's one of the items on the menu is get tickets, I believe.
I know that you've been to Magic Live many times. I see
I've been to every single one.
Have you?
My favorite magic convention ever is Magic Live.
And what is it about this convention that makes it so special for you?
It's run by professionals.
Wow, that's a good way of putting it.
And they do a great job. I mean, goofy stuff. I mean, the whole safari theme and all that. But it's cute.
Yeah, I didn't know where they're going with that, but I kind of, you know, when Stan puts in perspective and says, okay, it's going to be the curiosity.
He really puts his money where his mouth is, and he's spent a lot of money pushing forward this theme and
not knowing what's going to work or not.
Right, and it's goofy, but it's fun.
Well, he says a lot of times that he thinks a lot of people will come just to see him walk on that edge or that tightrope and see if he's going to fall or if he's going to
He's never going to fall. He does a great job ever since the first one.
Yeah, you know,
he tweaks, but he's never failed.
Well, I thought this morning with David Copperfield being on there, that's quite a coup.
What a coup.
Yeah, and it was just delightful to hear
and
his.
And David was great.
He was. Yeah, very personable and talked about private stories and heard, you know,
they should
failures.
Have called the segment in his own words, you know,
because
it was nice to hear David speak about a lot of the things that people say about him, but in his own words.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Well, going back over the years, one of my favorite pieces was the thing when they had the sawing in half, and they had different people come out, you know, Jonathan Pendragon was doing his version, and everybody else was doing all this, and so you could see the different spins that people put on that. And so each year they always have something that is a little bit different, that is a highlight, and I don't know what's going to be this year. Is there something over the last few years that has been something like that that stuck out for you, perhaps a lecture? Or
I remember getting to see Tim... I remember...
Conover?
Yeah, I was going to say, in one of the early Magic Lives, where they gave the... I think they called it the close-up experience. Mm-hmm. And each room was, so one of the rooms was Tim Conover at a trade show.
Yeah.
Doing what he did at a trade show, which I would never have the opportunity to see.
And
where you
Paul
saw
Berger.
Shutagawa doing a close-up, yeah. intimate close-up
Jockeys
show. Right, exactly, mm-hmm. right, exactly.
In a bar.
And oh, it was, oh gosh, was that, was it, no, it was Michael Close. In the bar.
Yeah, okay. That's right.
Doing close-up
yeah.
magic at the table. Mm-hmm. So, and Sandoz does a great, and hey, this is the first day, and you got David Copperfield, the highlight so far of everything that we've seen.
Yeah,
great.
And that's
it's
just
really
been
great.
In the first 2 hours.
Right.
Yeah, something has been phenomenal. So, yeah, who knows what's going to be happening for the rest of this. And that's part of what I like also is the mystery of it, certainly. And as he points out, that is the curiosity, you know, that we're all curious what is going to be happening, you know, next over there. So let me ask you that, Michael. What is your magic word? Since my podcast is called The Magic Word, what is important in your life? What is your motto? It could be a phrase, a sentence, paragraph. You know, when you wake up in the morning, what drives you to success?
I think, well, there are a couple, oh, two. I have two that come to mind.
Okay.
It's all in the detail. You know, people always ask me, what's the secret of Monday Night Magic? There's no secret. You have to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the little details.
Yeah, attention
that,
to detail.
That count,
it's
right?
The essence of showmanship.
And then always try to do the right thing. You know, do the right thing for your clients and do the right thing for the performers.
Yeah.
And that's, I try to do that.
Yeah.
Well, and I can honor, I can say that there are a lot of people out there that don't do that. And at some, I think, I don't think you can fool all of the people all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I think at some point, you know, people figure it out.
Good so. Words. Very good.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. For our, I started to say for Monday Night Magic. Magic Live. That was Michael Chout. This is the Magic Word. This is Scotty out.
Fever, Las Vegas turning day into nighttime, turning night into daytime. If you see it once, you'll never be the same.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. And as we are walking or talking over here, then I have Simon Carnell. Hello, Simon.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm fine. And you were the master of ceremonies this morning for a masterful event. I was telling somebody some of the people, you're going that way, aren't you?
Yep.
About some of the people in that, and I forgot Richard Wiseman. Of course, he was in the show, and that did a great job too. I was trying to think what was the fellow's name. I was talking about the video.
That was
Peter.
Hang on, Peter McKinnon.
McKinnon, yes.
Product manager at Illusionist.com.
Right. A lot of really diverse things. And Jamie D. Grant was talking about memorized
memorizing
deck and everything. And of course, the highlight was David somebody.
Some guy. Kotkin. Yeah. What was it?
Kotkin. That was it. Yeah. That was very good. And you did a great job then also. I like the thing that you did with the spots and the nice coin work and everything. It looked good
Thanks.
On camera, and it's something I'm sure looks great even close up.
Yeah, definitely. that was the idea.
Now, you said that you had actually... did you buy a spotlight to put in the close-up room at the castle?
I did. Long time ago, this was one of the Magic Magazine columns. I was going performing the Magic Castle for the first time. Really wanted to actually put some production values on close-up magic. And really had this vision of doing a card routine in a spotlight, in a black room, in a darkened room. The only way I could actually get the effect I wanted was by dropping $1,300 on an ultra-portable, focusable spotlight that I then rigged myself in the Magic Castle close-up room without telling anyone, because I wanted to ask forgiveness rather than permission just in case, because I wanted this effect. And long story short, did it. It looks great. And I use the spotlight ever since to
I was going to say, you certainly have used that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, you're just not going to have a $13 for a one-off kind of a thing.
Yeah, exactly. You know.
Okay. Now, over the last 18 months or so that you've had the column in Walkabout Magic, is that what's
Walkabout Soups.
Yeah. What has been a challenge for you? I mean, to meet deadlines
to
find material?
Just writing the damn thing every month is a nightmare.
Yeah.
It's I do not find writing easy. I find writing nightmarishly difficult. It is like pulling teeth for me.
So what about script writing? I mean, like for your performances?
That's just as bad.
Okay.
Converting thoughts to written text is horrific for me. I can do it. I can do it well. But it is the most exhausting, cognitively draining thing.
Have you talked about or thought about doing speech to text kind of thing?
I've tried it, but it's still there's something about like just trying to like refine the articulation of the idea into very specific words.
Right.
I don't know. And always find it. This is my dirty secret. The 18 months I've been doing it, so far, one of those months I've had it in on time.
So that he wasn't every, kidding.
No, he was not kidding.
But he said
the
column,
man who is endlessly patient. Yeah. Yeah, right now I am a week late on this month's column.
Well, see, that's what I like about doing the podcast for him whenever I'm doing the convention podcast, because I can, you know, get those in whenever. However, when I used to have my monthly convention column over there, he said, you know, Scotty, that you're one that I can always depend upon because you're the first one that gets your column in on time.
Bam, done.
And so, yeah, I like to get something out of the way so I don't have to have it hanging over me, you know.
Yeah.
I like a deadline because
I'd love
have it
that
done.
Too.
Yeah. And so, do you script? You do write things?
I don't. Okay. I find it very. I've yet to successfully write a script that actually ended up matching what came out of my mouth when I performed.
Interesting.
Now, that's if I'm performing as me.
Correct.
If I'm performing in character, that's fine. I can stick to a script. But when it's me actually trying to express my genuine thoughts and concepts on stage, I've not yet worked out how to script that.
So when you're creating something, you create the trick and then you think about the pattern around it?
I kind of have the presentational arc down kind of bullet point level. I know what needs to be articulated. I know what notes it needs to hit. But the actual specific words are kind of... It's like sketching a line. Each time you draw it, eventually the line thickens and you find the shape of it.
Could you rehearse that or before an audience, actually?
Until I go in front of an audience, I just don't know what the words are going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know what the beats are going to be. I know what the semantics are going to be. I know what I need to communicate.
Right.
That's very conceptually, like mentally scripted.
Yeah.
But the actual specific dialogue just gets refined slowly over repeat performances.
Right.
Trimming a word here and there, finding out. I'll ad-lib things. It'll work really well. I go, oh, I'm saying that next time. I'll ad-lib something. It doesn't work. I don't say that next time. And slowly the presentation takes form.
But you don't have a director or anybody listening to this. It's only just your own...
Yeah, normally no. For specific shows, I've worked with directors in the past. Yeah. Again, for some character pieces. Right now, I'm actually working with John Armstrong, who's come on as director for my solo show. That's helping hugely. But the scripting is still very challenging.
Yeah.
It's just not a way... Again, when performing as myself, I haven't yet found a way to make that work with a script.
Well,
it's just frustrating. It's way better, you know, when you do.
It live and learn, and you really can hone that down. Kind of like with
kids. Kids, do not use me as an excuse to not script. This is not okay. This is not a good thing.
Well, also, that it was something that I got out of what Copperfield was saying, is that he continues to work with that little alien thing.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't work, okay, well, I'm going to make it work. That you don't throw it away because there's a good germ of an idea, and that germ should grow, and you should give it that platform rather than trying to every few months.
Well, that's one of the things I do like about the sort of the structurally ad-libbed approach. Is it gives you that freedom to discover things about a bit that you didn't even know were there.
Right.
And I find those tend to come out in front of an audience. That's where those moments emerge and become real.
That's
true. And so there's a chance to go out there to capture them. Yeah. And you see, exactly. Or something the audience says, or something the audience does, or something you say in response to a look someone gives you. You know, just those moments kind of end up happening organically, and you're kind of uncovering them rather than defining them sometimes.
Right. Exactly right. Well, I enjoyed the what you did this morning as being the compere there, and it seems to make sense that you're going to be opening this because yours is one of the first articles in the magazine, the way that the magazine kind of unfolds, and then in your own words with Copperfield, and so other things will be unfolding, you know, as the rest of this convention goes on.
And so, I don't even know what they are yet, so I'm looking forward to
That's good. So now you're going to kind of relax. Now you've got one more session.
I do this once more, then I can actually relax and enjoy the whole thing.
Okay.
And all I know is what was in the sessions I was doing, so I'm as enthused as the rest of it.
Name my podcast is called The Magic Word, and we've talked, you've been a guest on here before, and I don't remember what your word was. You don't either, probably.
Yeah.
But what is important in your life? What is it when you wake up in the morning? What's your philosophy of life? What's not just, it could be a word, a sentence, you know?
That's a really good question. Just trying to do everything better.
Do it
really.
Better.
Just do awesome
Okay.
Basically.
That sounds great.
Really
that's
what it comes down to.
Thank you very much.
No worries.
Son of Cornell for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty L.
I'm going to keep on the run. I'm going to have me some fun. It cost me my very last dime. If I wind up broke, well, I'll always remember that I had a swing in time.
Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com, and just had a couple of afternoon sessions over here, and I got to hear Ian Rowland on mentalism, and then Joel Bauer talking about trade shows, and just came into the dealer's room to talk a little bit about magic, because some of the people are out to dinner, I think. So this is not nearly as crowded as it was, but ran into a good friend, Shep Hyken. Hello, Shep.
Hey, great to be here. How you doing, man? Are you having fun at the magic convention?
You know,
it's like boys camp, isn't it? We're going to summer camp.
That's right. Well, I have seen a few women here, but But it's of course largely and predominantly
the camp counselors.
So I haven't bought anything. There's really nothing that I think that I need, which is, of course, I know my wife's listening to this, so I didn't buy anything, dear. That is true. I haven't, I don't, it's a well-stocked dealer room. There are a lot of people here, and they've got a lot of really good stuff, but nothing really kind of flips my switch.
I buy books, because books,
sure.
You know, and what's cool about books is there's usually some, there's a reason I buy the book. I hear it's good. I hear there's a bit in the book, and I always know that I'll find at least one thing in a book, yeah. You know, if I have interest in the author and I know who the performer is. And more importantly, when I pick it up 6 months from now or 6 years from now, my mind is shifted. I'll find something new. So I just love buying books.
You know, that was Roger Klaus's recommendation to me, was to buy books and to read.
They're very heavy, by the way, to take back when you're traveling
on
back.
A plane.
I only had one suitcase. Well, it's going to be a heavy one.
Eventually, maybe that more of the magic books will go the rest of the way the rest of the books have, and that is to e-books.
You know, I love e-books. I think e-books are great. But for a magic book, I still want to hold it in my hand. I want to play with it. I want to open it up. I want to look at it. And, you know, fine. I love, you know, I can't see my library looking nearly as pretty with one slender iPad with 4,000 books on it.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. And also, I do have things bookmarked, which you could do, of course, with
right.
E-book as well. But I got things I like to go back because I might run across something else in there. It's just I know where I read it, and I can go and find it. I'm with you as far as having that feel.
You want to know what else? You and I are old.
No, that's true.
Hey,
yeah.
Well, we're not
thanks
that old.
Yeah.
But you know what?
I am.
The kids that are coming up today, the millennials, the magicians that are in their 20s, are used to buying digital.
Yeah.
And digital will be what's normal. Right now, it's still pretty new. You can't even get the magic magazines to completely convert to digital.
Right.
But I think that eventually we'll be able to. And you know what? Maybe it's the right thing to do. Convert everything to digital. That way, when I want to look for a particular trick, it's not going to pull up the trick of the book that I'm looking for. It'll pull up not only that one, it'll pull up 17 others and all the other books that I can compare. Then I can really study and have fun.
That's kind of what Bill Kalush is doing with the Conjurer's Arts.
Right. Yep. I love that. I think he's doing a phenomenal job on
right.
that.
You know, I think also that with the IBM and the SAM having, not the membership that they used to, and kind of a downturn, and with the costs of publishing going up, that has to be one of their greatest expenses, of course, is just the hard copy of the magazine.
Yeah,
now,
the
those
magazine.
Are available
right.
on a digital basis, but still not everybody wants them in a digital.
Well, I think what's going to happen is they're going to phase it in, and they're already doing it. You can
sure.
already get it digital, and I think it's just a matter of time before they say, hey, everybody, it's time.
Yeah.
Boom, it's done.
Yeah. Well, there are some people who don't even have email addresses, you know, but I think eventually that's going to be washed out as
right.
well.
And are they still living?
Well, Andy Gregett, you know, is a the book
right.
dealer, doesn't have a website,
he's got
email.
He doesn't have a website, but I know he's got an email address. No?
No. I'm the dealer chairman for the TOM.
I think it's an AOL address, but...
No. I don't think he's got that.
Maybe it's a CompuServe
address
CompuServe. With numbers. Wasn't he 1479632 at CompuServe.com?
That could be. Now, you've been coming to Magic Live for a long time.
Since the beginning.
That's right. Seth Kramer over. Hey, Seth.
Hey,
how you
Seth.
Doing?
Seth's been there since the beginning.
You guys had both.
Yep.
Now, I remember a few years ago also that they had a trade show kind of a thing. Did you guys?
Tim Conover did that.
Tim did that.
Right.
And I thought Paul Gertner did something also. Was
he
that
did. Same thing.
Okay.
Because
they had
here.
A different kind of a thing so that one
group
room
would see one and one would see the other.
Yeah, but
and then
in the other rooms, they had other things like with a bar set up
yep.
and that kind of a thing as well. And you lectured here, then, Seth, and they have a great lecture. Was it here?
No,
what was
here.
It I heard your lecture on the...
you heard
was
him
that
at the Paul Stone's
intervention?
No, it wasn't
nope.
there.
Didn't we do a Midwest Magic Jubilee?
That was it.
Right.
That was it. Yeah. That was it. Yep.
We did that together.
Together. You guys did together.
Yeah.
Because
yeah,
I got both your notes.
We're still together.
Yeah.
After all these years.
And it was your contract and your notes that I still use for my trade shows. That's very good. Yeah.
Thank you.
Well done.
You changed the numbers, I hope.
And the name.
And the logo.
Exactly. Have you put that on digitally so it's available?
No, not available digitally.
Okay.
No, still it's...
So what about the convention so far? What have you enjoyed?
Yeah,
it's great. It's just day one.
The morning session was great, and the afternoon focus groups were great. So
yeah, we're all red badges, so we're all like in the same session,
yeah,
I think,
good.
You know, basically.
Copperfield was amazing this morning.
He was. You know what was great about Copperfield? Hatfield, I think, first of all, he didn't phone this in, and not that he ever does.
He was genuine.
He was more genuine than I've ever seen him. Very, very open.
Humble.
And what was really cool is that, really, if you wanted to understand why he's successful, is he doesn't stay still. He is pushing it all the time. And I think that in order to stay relevant, you have to push it.
Sure. And he has for decades.
Yeah.
Decades.
And he could have sat back. He could still be doing some of the great illusions that he's always been doing. But, you know, people come back. They see him over and over. I hear the new show. The new show. The show is different. Three quarters different. And from last year.
Yeah.
You know? So...
Well, and I also like that he was talking about was he was kind of talking about the problems he had. In other words, that I've had some failures, that everything's not a success. I mean, you just hear the good things. But also, he continues to work on some stuff that's not going to work. It's like, okay, it's not bad. It's just I need to keep tweaking it. And he doesn't throw it out just because it doesn't work.
So right? what he does, it's which most performers should do, is when you're going to try new material, sandwich in between a couple of good things.
Of course.
Because then if it doesn't work, it's just in the middle.
Yeah.
And it's not going to pull everything down. You're going to come out really strong, and I think that's part of what makes it good. And when it is working, it's working.
Yeah.
And getting all the feedback, getting all your feedback from your audience.
Well, right.
And listening to the feedback.
Well, I think it's important to listen to the feedback and then do something with it, because as he and Stan Allen are both saying, that the best feedback is the negative things, not necessarily people who are, the haters are going to hate and they're going to say, so you got to weed that out. But those who are giving you some good, genuine feedback, yep. And trying to find those people who are good directors who can give you relevant feedback is important.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You said good friends, smart friends, those are your best critics.
I was about to ask you where you find those, but that's true. It's from your friends, really, who they can feel comfortable in talking with you and telling you, that kind of a thing.
There's still a right way and a wrong way to do it.
What would you say?
You can alienate your friends. You got to be careful. Here's the problem with feedback. Many people give feedback without relevant experience. Now, as a performer, you want to get the feedback of how it made that person feel. But when they start, it's one thing to say, well, how did you like this latest trick? And I go, you know what? I'm not sure I liked it. Why didn't you like it? It took so long to get there. Okay, now that's great. I've experienced that. But as soon as I say to you, you know what I would do if I were you for that trick? Unless I have the relevant experience to offer you the critical suggestions.
That's a good point.
That scares me because, it's called Gestalt Protocol, speaking from experience versus from opinion. Now, if you're a recognized expert from the stage and you understand showmanship and you understand audience response, you can go there. But too many magicians...
When I do my version of this trick, this is what works for me.
That is about as strong of an experience sharing as you can get.
Sure.
And then it becomes data, not opinion.
Right, because everybody's got an opinion.
Right,
and you can weigh it.
If you say, did you like it? And I say, no. You say, why not? It took you 10 minutes to get to the punchline.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's what I experienced.
But that is valid also, I think, from an audience.
It's very valid, but I'm not telling you you should shorten it. I'm telling you what I experienced.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
You're not telling them how to do it.
Right.
Just don't cut this because it's not... Yeah,
right.
Okay. You don't think you should shorten that by 5 minutes.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, I had a director who had, when I was working at Magic Island in Houston before it closed, that Scott Hollinger.
I remember that.
Just a great director, and he was always giving people good advice, and you could take it or not, and use it or not, and whatever. And I was just talking to somebody about this yesterday, about a UPC barcode gag that I was doing, and I was milking it for more than it was worth, basically. He said, trim it down. I cut out like 2 minutes, and I had the same number of laughs. I had more laughs per minute, the same total number of laughs, but I now cut out 2 minutes and made it a tighter, funnier piece.
Jerry Seinfeld will work months to take a 9-word sentence and make it 8 words.
Wow.
Yeah.
Find the right word to remove to make it a perfect punchline.
Right.
Yeah.
And sometimes shorter is better.
Yeah.
Not with everything.
Well, sometimes the subtle things also, because I was talking to somebody else. They were saying about how that they were doing a ring on rope on stage, and he was using a black rope. And somebody said, well, just use change of white rope. And he said it made all the... And he thought about that. He was doing something that was a little bit different with a black rope.
Black rope looks cool.
With the silver string.
Cool from here.
Yeah.
Up against the black suit.
Exactly right. But with the silver ring, he thought it makes it pop more, better than a white rope. But anyhow, that seemed to make perfect sense. you know, kind of like that then too. So my question then, as we start to kind of wrap up over here, that you've enjoyed the convention.
I mean, oh, yeah.
It's hard to say what you're looking forward to because this is something
we don't know yet.
Yeah, I have no idea what's going to...
That's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to not knowing what I'm looking forward to.
Stan had said the last time that friends was the theme. And, of course, this morning he opened up and said curiosity. I like that as well because you're curious as to what's going to be happening and all the things that embody that. But I was going to say, as far as the wrap-up, that my podcast is called The Magic Word Podcast. So what is your magic word? What is important? I've asked you, I think, this before, and it's your philosophy of life. It's not a word. It could be a phrase. It's something that you live by. Something when you wake up in the morning, you live for this because you do it because
of... Mine is easy because it's written on everything.
I know what you're
going to say. What is it?
Family?
Well, so... So there's different mantras that I have.
Okay.
In my business
mantra... You know how much
mantra,
you love your family.
My business mantra is always be amazing. That's my whole thing. We help our clients be amazing. I want to be amazing to my staff. We want to, you know, give our clients amazing... But my personal mantra is have fun and make the kids smile.
Okay.
So it is family.
Yeah.
And I believe in Seth, you know this more than anybody, I blow up the fun factor. Have fun. Yeah. There's a great song by Tim McGraw. I'm not a country music fan, but the words go something like this. Skydiving. I went skydiving. I went mountain climbing. I rode 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. And it's all about live like you're dying. If you were told you had 6 months to go, if you know, I don't have a bucket list, and there's a reason. I'm happy.
Already done it.
Yeah, happy. So, anyway, life, the personal, have fun, make the kids smile. Business, be amazing.
Seth?
Well, my business mantra has always been, if you love what you do, you won't work a day in your life.
So that's always good. That's true. That's very good. And so for the Magic Word Podcast, that was Shep Hyken and Seth Kramer. This is Scotty Al.
I wish that there were more than 24 hours in the day. Not even if there were 40 more, I wouldn't sleep a minute.
Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and I'm here with Bill Cook, my favorite and yours. How you doing, man?
I love you. How are you?
I'm doing great. One of Chicago's finest over here.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And I've been following your exploits not only on Facebook, but on television then also.
I get around.
How was that like? Yeah. How was that like with Penn and Teller, Foolish?
Can I be honest? I've still never met Penn or Teller.
They were at a distance, and you never...
No, I've been on two of their shows in the last, 8
Wizard
months.
Wars?
I was on Wizard Wars in January, and then I was on Fool Us in... And now it aired in September, but we filmed it in August. What day is it?
This is is August.
It was August 3rd.
Okay,
we filmed that in April, and then we filmed Wizard Wars in, I believe that was October, I think, or September. I have no idea. Every day, you know, runs together.
Yeah.
But, so in the last year, I've performed for them twice. I still haven't met either one of them.
That's fine.
So if Penn or Teller is listening to this, I'd love to take you guys out to lunch. So,
yeah.
I know it's been a real blast. And what's amazing about the Magic community is everyone in the Magic community watches it.
Yeah.
So I've gotten some great feedback. I've gotten some not so nice feedback too, but
Was it legitimate feedback as far as the not so nice, or we were just talking with some of the guys over here, you know, haters gotta hate, and so they're gonna give you some bad.
Haters gotta hate, and they have to understand that, you know, if you're a performer and this is your job, you do your research and you do look into things and you do contact people and you do make sure that you're doing everything on the up and up. And you know, not everyone does that, but I do.
How do you choose your material? When you're going to be doing something on television, particularly that's going to be in a contest type of environment, a reality, quote, reality show type of a thing, how do you select your material?
So I know some magicians that are, I'm going to make something to fool them. I went with working material. I went with something that I do on a nightly basis for every gig that I can that comes through, you know, comes across my desk. It's solid. It's a workhorse for me. If I can do it backwards, forwards in my sleep, and if I can anticipate a problem.
Yeah.
Not like an act that I made for this where the first time I have a problem is in front of the judges.
Right.
That's not what I want. I want a workhorse.
Right.
And thankfully, the material that I sent, I was contacted by Fool Us, then they asked me to send them material, and they picked my favorite of the ones
okay.
to do. And
how many different things
I
did
sent
you?
Them, I sent them six things.
Okay.
So, but I. It was a great experience. It's gotten me a lot of great exposure, especially here at Magic Live.
Yeah.
This is such a huge family.
It is.
And you know, they definitely need to celebrate. I mean, we as magicians celebrate when someone does well.
Of course.
And, you know, if you haven't seen the episode, spoiler alert, I did not fool them. But it, I came off really well, and Penn had a lot of nice things to say.
Yeah.
And that's... more than enough for me.
Yeah.
I think that that was wonderful. And
now when you're going to work at Magic Castle, now there again is going to be some of the stuff that's just from your regular repertoire, because you know you're trying to keep it down to like about 12 minutes, no more than 15 minutes, close up or something. So
For close up, it's no more than 20. They want you to keep it 18.
Yeah.
But the last time I was at the castle, I worked the parlor. And that was my first time working the parlor. It was the late parlor. I did a solid 19 minutes of all working material that I do in my stand-up rep. You know, I don't understand the notion of, oh, I'm working on this for the castle.
I was going to say, so it's not a castle act. It's actually your working stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's my working stuff.
So you're not worried about trying to fool magicians who are members there, you're necessarily.
Well, if I fool the members there, it's a benefit.
That's a benefit, yeah.
But I want to fool everybody. So hopefully the stuff I work on is at least somewhat fooling. Hopefully. To my knowledge, I'm the first person to do Sean Begonia's Extreme Hank in the Bottle in the parlor.
Oh.
And when I would tell people, or word would get around the castle that I was doing Sean Begonia's the Extreme Hank in the Bottle.
Right.
I'd have people say, are you out of your mind in the parlor? And then afterward, they're like, yeah, okay, this all makes sense. Why you would do this in the parlor?
Yeah.
So, I mean... one of the speakers today, I won't say who it is, but one of our sessions today said, when you do something new, people are going to generally bark at it and generally not like it until you break the barrier and then prove to them that it works. So doing the bottle, or the Dancing Hank in the Bottle in the parlor, most people will go, ah, that would never work there, and then I did it. And I wouldn't be surprised if more people start doing it there, because it became the perfect venue for the Dancing Handkerchief in the Bottle.
Yeah, yeah. And so you were happy with the way they went? Or do you,
The only thing I wasn't happy about was the week that I was there was the week the air conditioning unit in the parlor went out.
Oh, that's a bummer.
So every show starts at 80 degrees and gets hotter.
Yeah.
But I did learn that Nordstrom's has great suits, and and I was able to go out and buy a new suit.
Yeah.
Which was very expensive, but now I have two.
That fit me very well. That's a good thing. So how are you enjoying the convention, Magic Live?
It's unlike any other convention I've ever been to. Again, they topped it.
Yep.
I have no voice. I haven't slept. I'm running off of Red Bull and handshakes and hugs.
I was going to say, you still seem kind of hyper, but you always are.
I'm always hyper. It seems like I have one speed. Go.
Yeah. On. Yeah, that's right.
I have on.
That's it.
Even when I'm sleeping, I'm hyper.
Well, to wrap up, I've asked you this before, but do you remember what your magic word is? What is it that you recommend? What is important to you? What do you live by?
I actually have six magic words.
Excellent.
Six magic words. We did this thing at my magic club. If you could give someone starting in magic advice in the shortest amount of words possible, what would it be? And when it came to me, I said, be good person, have good show.
Yeah.
So be a person that you would want to talk to and associate with.
Yeah.
And then do magic that you know is good for you.
Great advice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a young person giving advice to old and young.
Thank you.
That's clearly applied to everybody. Good. Thanks again very much.
My pleasure.
That's Bill Cook for the Magic Word Podcast. Scotty out.
Viva! Viva!